Well, today and next week, we're going to be spending some time with the parable on the vine in John chapter 15. And as with all of the gospel readings that we've been diving into together in this Easter season, I want to devote some special attention with you on how these passages, these parables, these encounters, these reflections bring us to the deep meaning of the resurrection. The spring season this year seems to have put flowers and plants on my brain. If you've had a chance to read my column this month in the outreach, I talk a bit there about the impression that their beauty can make on a person. Thank you, Janet, for your response on Facebook. How that beauty can sometimes startle and grab our attention just out of the blue and draw our hearts and draw our minds upward toward God. Plants have always had that effect on me for some reason. I can remember taking biology as a freshman in high school, and I'm not sure how much that class really inspired my imagination as a freshman, but when we got to the plants, life really, the bio of biology, that part somehow did. I can remember vividly the first time we got out our microscopes and took a look at a living plant cell to see what's going on down there and how they work. There's amazing stuff to see under the microscope. Under there, these things that look flat and still to the naked eye turn out to be moving and growing. All of those tiny inner workings of life are working together and going about their tasks. And all of that busyness, it turns out, is happening all around us all of the time, billions and billions of times over. Under the microscope, you could see the nucleus and the mitochondria. I had to go back and look up some of those terms to remember them from high school. And all of that other stuff is engaged and coordinated down there, pushing life ahead on the inside of those cells. Several of those cells were multiplying, dividing up right there before our very eyes. Life, I remember thinking, is a wonder. Life is amazing. Life is a great mystery and a grace of Almighty God. What a wonder. What a blessing and mystery that the world is humming and buzzing like this, and that even beyond what we can see and appreciate with our eyes, the world is held in life in this abundant way. No matter how far you zoom in or out on that microscope, there's still some sort of impenetrable mystery and goodness behind it all. We can observe it and study it. We can appreciate it and learn about it, but at the end of the day, there remains something there that's just given to the world lavishly as a grace. One of the things that I was captured by peering down that tube is that life lives. Life simply lives. It grows. It moves. It's not stagnant, but active. Those plant cells down there were busy doing what they do. And there's something about that movement, that busyness under the microscope and all around us in our lawns, in our pots, in our fields and in our lawns, there's something there, I believe, that communicates to us a message that God wants us to hear. A message that presents us with a great truth and mystery about life itself that gives us more lyrics for our songs of praise. One of the many things that Jesus wants to bring before us in this teaching on the vine, maybe the most simple, the most basic, but perhaps also the most important point of all is that this life thing, it's really all just about God, isn't it? At every turn, in every nook and cranny, in grand ways and in microscopic details from start to finish, all of it is all about God. We find God everywhere in everything, tending the garden, nurturing this precious grace, holding it and preserving it and ushering it forward to growth, because life lives. Life moves. Life isn't frozen still, but rather it's being nurtured along. This is perhaps the most basic truth, the most basic doxology hymned behind these words in Jesus' teaching for today. That this great and beautiful grace and mystery that is life, there's an access point there to the author of life and his love for the world nestled deeply all around us in every single thing. Hidden, perhaps, but if so, hidden in the screaming cacophony of life all around us. God, Jesus tells us here, is like the great vine grower, tending to the vine, tending to the very source of life. And Christ is the vine. Christ, in other words, is the mean through which God seeks to fully nourish the world in the gift of life. And an important part of what he wants to draw our attention to here in this parable is the fruit. What it is and how it comes to be in us. I'm going to put that theme on hold for today and come back to it next week. But for today, I just want to sit with this other piece of what Jesus is drawing our attention to here, that the God of life, the God who has set this world to humming and to moving and to buzzing all around us every day, that the God who loves and creates and sustains life as a gift and as a grace is seeking in every moment of our existence to grab hold of us for more. To take us further, to tend to the vine, and to tend it into further and richer growth. God, after all, is the main actor in this parable. God, the vine grower, tending to the life of the world, and most especially to life in its fullest and most abundant form. The life that comes through the Son, the vine. We're given a glimpse here of God, the vine grower, nipping and pruning the vine of life. It seems here for a moment that there's no part of the living vine that ever actually avoids a nip here or there. The dead branches get nipped, and the living branches get nipped as well. The God who's ushering life along onto growth is an attentive gardener. And sometimes the nips need to make room for more life to rise up and find its place. And other times, those nips are made to spur new growth. But always, always here, Jesus is asking us to take notice and even to love and to praise this God who is always tending to this mysterious gift. One of the messages that Jesus would have us learn and take away from this parable is what he says here in verse 4, abide in me. I am the true vine. I, Jesus says, am the vine through which the great vine grower is tending to true life in the world, so abide in me. Simply abide in me, and I in you. Stay connected. Take nourishment. Grow as part of this vine. There's an Easter message here, church, because we're being asked to drink deeply of what it might mean for us not only to believe that Christ's resurrection is true and victorious, but to go even further and to take our nourishment from that, to grow in that, to abide in that. That word abide, as I hear it today, almost has the ring of letting the plant just sit in the sunlight to soak up the rays for a while. Just stay there and let God do in you what God intends to do. Be open to the growth that God would bring forth in you, even if it involves a nip or two. Maybe you're one of the ones that feel like a dead branch this morning. The world inside feels like it's gone dead or stagnant. We're being told that many people right now are languishing from this year. It's a new word in our cultural vocabulary together. Languishing, just holding on. But you know, God is still tending the vine. God can cut off the dead branches and start again in you. That's a promise, because God has already done more miraculous, more spectacular things through this life-giving vine. Because Christ has overcome death. In Christ, God has put the victory of life over the grave on marvelous and conspicuous display. God can do the same in you. This great and loving vine grower of ours can prune all of that dead stuff away and start again. God is the great lover of our whole being, inside and out, and God is tending carefully to life even today, even right this very moment. All of that green stuff in the world, all of those trillions of plant and animal cells, even your very breath, but beyond it, to that eternal kind of life that we find when we abide in the living vine, Jesus Christ. There's a great beauty and mystery and grace in those cells, but there's more to the kind of life that comes at Easter than just what happens in those cells. God offers the kind that also wants to get your heart and soul to pumping and to growing, with life that wells up to eternal life. We can celebrate that, can't we? We can find joy in that. We can praise God for that. But what God really wants to do is to abide in that. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.